Certainly evokes a lot of good and warm, happy memories, doesn't it? I remember visiting in Iowa one time where we visited the church where that song was sung for the first time out there in a rural area of Iowa. Well, God has been so good to us in giving us the opportunity and the privilege of being in His house of worship. Whether the church be little or big, the main thing is that when you assemble together in worship, that Jesus is real, and the worship comes from your heart, not just from lip service. Although there are many people who don't go to church, I wonder, have they never read the book of Hebrews that says very clearly, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It is important that we come together in a time of worship and exhorting one another, encouraging one another. If we need rebuke, if we need a sermon that steps on our toes, which we often do, then let us assemble together in worship and listen to the breaking of the bread of life. Well, this is John Thrasher, and I look forward to spending these 30 minutes devotionally with you. Let's just worship the Lord together, shall we? David said in Psalm 138, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. In the day when I cried, thou answeredst me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of thy mouth. Yea, they shall sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly. But the proud he knoweth afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. And that's the end of Psalm 138. I love it when David speaks with such positive faith and confidence, not in himself, but in his God. And he says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. I love it when he says, O God, you will do this for me. You will do that. And he goes on to say, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And oftentimes David would express that sense of confidence in God when it seemed that everything around him screamed out just the opposite. You know, there are times when, against hope, we must believe in hope. That's what Abraham did too. When it did not seem possible at all for God's word to be fulfilled, and against hope, he believed in hope, and he found the fulfillment of the Lord's promise. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, O God, you will revive me. Talk like that today, and give praise and worship to the Lord, and see if it doesn't help you. I know it will. Because thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And God's word is true. Well, dear friend, let's just slip into the presence of a living Christ and worship him. Let our minds and emotions and hearts and souls be filled with the glory of his presence, his love, his goodness, his purity and holiness. And may he fill our hearts today together as we worship him.
Thank you.
Can you say praise the Lord? That word hallelujah is going to be the keynote of praise in heaven. How many times do you come across it in the book of Revelation? John said, and I heard them say it again, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. The word hallelujah means praise the Lord. That's what we're going to be singing and saying throughout eternity. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy in his first epistle, said, now the end of the commandment is love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. Another translation words it like this. Now the object and purpose of our instruction is love, which springs from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. I think that presents, in a nutshell, the ideal to which God is working his purposes out in our lives. That's the ideal. That's the very object and purpose of all of our instruction, is that there be produced in our hearts the love of God, which springs from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. Well, it takes a lot of working at. Or I should say, it takes a lot of yielding ourselves to God and allow him to work it out. Although the scripture does say that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. And there is a lot for us to do, even though the price for our redemption and our salvation was paid in full at the cross of Calvary. Jesus did pay it all. As far as the penalty against sin is concerned, Jesus paid it all. But when we receive Christ, the Savior, and we receive that free gift from heaven, then there is plenty for us to do. As far as our seeking after God, our putting him first in our lives, our endeavoring to see to it that we walk close to him. You can come across many scriptures in the Bible that are imperatives, which speak very clearly as to your duty and my duty and our responsibility. Things like, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yes, Jesus did pay the price for our salvation, but now it is up to you to resist the devil and watch him flee from you. Pray without ceasing. And there are many other things that we are to be diligent, not slothful, but diligent in making our calling and election sure. This is the ideal. These are God's purposes as he endeavors to work out in our hearts and lives. And the more we surrender to him and yield ourselves to him, the more he will do it. The very object and purpose is that there be produced in us love, God's love, which springs from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. But I'll tell you what, the devil will fight you every inch of the way. And you will go against the current constantly. In this world, you shall have tribulation, no doubt about it. But let's finish out that verse. But be of good cheer, said Jesus. I have overcome the world. Do you know when he said that? It's very interesting to note that in John's gospel, when Jesus said those words, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world, he was walking with his disciples on the road to Gethsemane. In just a few hours, he would be judged by Pilate, sentenced to be crucified, and nailed to the cross. And yet he said, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, you have to read the rest of the story to know the outcome. Even though he was crucified and laid in that grave dead, 3 days later he came forth from the tomb, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. did indeed overcome the world. It didn't look like it at the time when the sun withdrew its face and ceased its shining and darkness covered the earth and it was dark. And Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he was made sin for us who knew no sin. And it didn't look like that he overcame the world, but he did. And many times in the life of the Christian, it may not seem like God is answering your prayers or working out his purposes in your behalf. But I'll tell you what, if you love Jesus and you've given your heart to him, in spite of all the negative evidence, God is indeed doing his will in your life. And it is important that we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. If Jesus had looked around at the Roman soldiers and Pilate and the crucifixion, he never would have said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." But being God, he knew the outcome of it. And as a Christian, we ought to know the outcome because we've read the Bible. We know that those who put God first in their life will come out a winner, not a loser. We know that. Even though it seems at times that those who love the Lord are trampled underfoot and are the outcast and dubbed the troublemakers of this world, and the evidence around us seems to say just the opposite, that we are not overcomers. But we have read the rest of the story. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yes, there is that dreadful pull that would fight us every inch of the way in fulfilling God's purposes in our lives, that we have his love dwelling within, and that love springing from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. God wants us to be pure and not tainted, loving and not hateful, forgiving and not carrying a grudge, diligent and not slothful, faithful, not undependable, considerate of others, not selfish, persevering, not quitting, trusting, not worrying, joyful, not sad, calm, not upset, boldness, not timidity. And yet there are many fiery darts of the devil cast against the Christian to keep him from attaining to all these things. There is the constant pull of the flesh against the spirit. But we can say with David in Psalm 27, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Yes, we would have fainted a long time ago if we had not believed in God and his strength and his help. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We shall faint if we don't believe. The world says seeing is believing, but the gospel says believing is seeing. As Jesus said to Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? It is important that we think often of the all-sufficiency of God, the power of God, the goodness of God, the unchangeableness of God. You may as well doubt that all the waters of the ocean cannot fill a spoon, as that the divine fullness cannot be enough for you. No cross so heavy and intolerable, but what, God can make it light and easy? His all-sufficiency and power make him able, and his goodness makes him willing. I like that. His all-sufficiency and power make him able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, and his goodness makes him willing. David believed he should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and if he had not done so, he would have fainted under his afflictions. Even the best saints are subject to faint when their troubles become grievous and tedious. Their spirits are overwhelmed, and their flesh and heart fail. Of all the thoughts which can enter into the mind in the season of distress, I think the most soothing thought is the belief of an interest in God's favor who rules the world. An interest in His favor who rules the world. That God cares and God loves us. One of the things we need the most is strength. Strength to be what God wants us to be. And when we have that constant pull of the flesh against the spirit, we can certainly look up to heaven and find strength in Jesus. In the day that I cried, you answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. Deuteronomy 31 verse 5, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And in Joshua we read the words, and Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. Isaiah 40 verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Now love this verse in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 16, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And so, dear friend, allow God's purposes to be fulfilled in your life. Did I not read to you a few moments ago in the scripture where David said, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me? Well, allow God to perfect his purposes in you and to bring forth the ideal of what he wants a Christian to be. Filled with love, the love of God, and that love springing from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. I tell you, if you're a friend of Jesus, he's going to strengthen you. He's going to help you. O Savior, I have naught to plead on earth beneath or heaven above, but just mine own exceeding need and thine exceeding love. The need will soon be past and gone, exceeding great, but quickly over. Thy love unbought is all thine own, and lasts forevermore. Thank God for the strength and grace and fullness that we have in Jesus Christ our Lord, and today we can cast every care upon Him. Cast every care upon Jesus. Didn't Peter say, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you? In an act of faith, let's do that right now. In Jesus' name. It's been a privilege to spend these 30 minutes devotionally with you. Thanks for listening. This is John Thrasher. I hope you have a good, happy, joyful, victorious day in Jesus. And you will as you draw close to Him and keep your eyes upon Him. Thanks for listening. Have a good day, and God's very best be yours.